Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's going on? Oh, man. We're getting closer and closer. What's good, Lash? What's good?
Yeah, what's up, man? No, yesterday will be the All-Star break. So now we're going to find out who now the fun really begins. The getting gets going. And if you're a team that's on the border of making the playoffs or outside looking in, either the tough gets toughened or if you're good and you're strong, you'll make it. But so now we're gonna find out who the real contenders are. You already have an idea who the pretenders are as far as teams for sure. Like Baltimore's not gonna make it, Miami's not gonna make it. You know, I think Cleveland's not gonna make it, Kansas City, things like that. So you already know, you have an idea who's not gonna make it.
I don't know.
The National League is way stronger this year than the American League. In the American League, it's the Yankees in Detroit and I guess Toronto now, and Houston. But in the National League, it's a tough division. Anyone come out of that league. So it'll be interesting, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. We definitely have to, deep dive into that situation coming up in a few. But today's main topic, is Mr. John Bacon. John Bacon, please stand up. What's going on, bro? You get paid to do something really important, and for some reason, during pivotal plays during a game, you're stenching up the place. You know what I'm saying? You're stinking up the joint. You're killing it. You're destroying us. You're killing me softly, bro. Like, caused both of our managers to get tossed this year already because of this. You know what I'm saying? So this is something that we're both dealing with, and this is something that needs to be rectified, And listen, I just got the news today. I was, scrolling and the All-Star game is going to implement the ABS system. So it's going to be awesome. I know. Thumbs up to that, brother. You think that's a serious, right?
Yeah, I'm starting to think that maybe John Bacon is the reincarnation of Angel Hernandez. We were talking about him last year.
Exactly.
The guy, we hated his guts because he's terrible calls. So I'm wondering if this is what that is. But it just proves, even just in the Orioles-Mets game yesterday, there was a ball. I don't know why I feel like Torrens is like a victim of poor play calling. There was a situation where the pitcher on the Orioles had a Mackley inning, meaning he had 3 strikeouts on
nine pitches.
But yeah, one of those pitches was a ball, which was the last pitch against Torrens in that inning, and they called him out, which is terrible because the ball was so low. Ray Charles could have seen that was a ball, but it's just terrible, man. It's been a big issue this whole season. It's not just our team's affected; everyone's affected by it.
Yeah, we gotta
get rid
of these.
How you rectify the situation?
No, they have to get reprimanded. Evaluations. Yeah, you're telling me that they're not having evaluations, Well, I get evaluations at work. I'm pretty sure you get evaluations at work. Exactly, This is just a, like, to let you know where you're at and what you can improve on, you know. And obviously, you know, listen, I'm not saying that the job isn't one of the hardest jobs, you know what I'm saying? Especially from that position behind the catcher, you know what I'm saying? It's something, it's an art form, all right? You have to be able to see in a different way, you know? Can you imagine trying to call balls and strikes from that area in the back over there? Like, it's almost impossible, right? It's like magic almost. It's like, you're like, all right, you know, we're seeing it from a different perspective, a different angle, and, you know, we're criticizing these guys because whether or not, you know, we ride hard for these teams. It's not like, you know, these teams are suffering too. You know, they're trying to win something. They're trying to do, you know, I understand there's a lot of money involved, but these guys are actually trying to win something, especially the competitive teams, you know, like those little plays, those missed strikes, you know, those balls that you call strikes, that's a problem, especially, you know, in a pivotal situation. Imagine something like that in the World Series. What are you going to say then, you know?
Well, that's what's going to happen. It's just like at a company, you know that there's this thing that's not shouldn't be used, a device, you know, like at a warehouse that's dangerous. It's going to fall. Well, they're just going to wait till something terrible happens to make a change. That's in any business. And baseball, same thing. It's going to come down to a critical play in a World Series or a playoff game. And the teams, you know, think about it. Imagine if that was, you know, the bottom of the ninth, Torrance is the last at bat, bases loaded, two outs. You know, you know, and to tie the game, all you need is a walk and you call a strike. Game's over. You just lost the series. You know what I mean? You know, the Mets' chance of going to World Series just went away. You know, I hope that's not going to happen. But you don't want it to come down to a playoff situation where that happens. And let me tell you something, man. I really like the balls and strikes system. I went to a Braves minor league game last year, and it was really quick. People think, it's going to be drawn out. It's going to be like when a manager or football, when the coach challenges a play, it takes 7 hours. Nope, there's no one challenging. You literally, the ump steps to the side. He looks at the scoreboard. They show the instant replay with the box of the ball like they show on TV. And they say, okay, play on, strike. There was a strike and move on. It's going to be quick.
I love it.
Baseball's progressing. You got to progress with the times. You know, I know the old school heads, oh, you're changing the game. You know, some people view the baseball as like a religion. And I was like, yeah, there's some things you should change. Some things you shouldn't change. One thing, you know, for example, we had opinions about the man on set, the Manfred man. I think we should never have that. But that doesn't really affect the game because, you know, game.
I like it. Listen, it changes. It's an added element that causes you to pitch a different way. It causes you to do things differently. You know what I'm saying? There's so many different ways to skin that cat when you have a man on second, you know. Listen, you can walk the next man coming up, right? And then all of a sudden you have a double play situation, all right? You have to create the moment. You have to figure out what you're going to do. It's something that both teams have to deal with. It's something that makes it exciting, all right? And home field advantage, all right, there's a little home field advantage in play as well for that, you know? So I like it, you know? But we're going to discuss Mr. John Bacon and what needs to get done. I mean, I'm glad they're implementing this into the All-Star game. I wasn't expecting that, you know what I'm saying? And maybe this is the cause of it. Maybe John Bacon is the cause of, you know, adapting to the system a little faster. You know, hopefully by next year we should have it in play. Because, look, this is the first time we actually get to see this in play in a major league game. All right, it is the All-Star game. It's not, you know, the greatest game to sit down and watch. All right, you got a whole bunch of stars. They're all happy and giddy. You know, they're getting to meet each other for, you know, like, intimately for, like, the first times, you know. And it's an honor for these players to make it, you know. We're going to talk about that as well because, you know, they're saying that Soto should have been an All-Star. Listen, bro, the same thing that happened to Lindor last year is the same thing that's happening to Mr. Soto. I don't think he deserves to be there. All right, why? Because he was the greatest walker for the first half? No, man. You know, because he took 76 based on balls? I don't think so, man. He didn't produce, and he doesn't belong there. That's simple. That's how I see it. But should there be a different way of selecting players into the All-Star game? You know, we've been talking about this for a week now, pretty much, you know, with the chat and stuff, you know, because we got a pretty deep chat, you know. We got a diehard Mets fan that'll bleed for them, cry. He loves every single player, including Jeff McNeil. He probably has posters of Jeff McNeil in his bathroom, but we're not gonna, you know, we're not gonna mention his name. Yeah, well,
I will mention his name. There you go.
Let me see. I love him, but he's a diehard. You know, that's what I'm talking about. You know, a Jeff McNeil poster in your restroom at home is a diehard Mets fan.
It's above a ceiling. Like, you know what? You see the ceiling fan?
Oh, yes.
Right above that. So when he goes to sleep, the last thing he sees is Jeff McNeil.
Wow, that's awesome. You know what? But listen, we love Craig. He's an amazing fan. Like, listen, a fan like that, he's really close to my dad in that sense. You know what I'm saying? Because he's a diehard. No matter what, he's going to sit down and watch. He might turn it off a couple of times here and there, but he's going to watch the whole game. But
yeah, he wears his heart on the sleeve, especially during the games. It's funny. See, Craig, you know when the Mets are winning, losing. If Craig is blowing up the chat, that means the Mets are doing great.
Yeah.
When they're not doing well, it's like church is in session. Like, what happened? You know, where did Craig go?
And you know what the funny thing is?
He's not working.
No. And you know who it is. Even about me looking at my phone, when I hear it go off, you could tell by the pattern of the way the text comes through.
He comes fast. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. It's like, you know, he has a thought. He drops it. He sends it. He has another thought. He drops it. He sends it. He doesn't just compile a whole bunch of thoughts and then sends them. He sends a thought and it's ready to fly.
As it comes.
And I love it, you know, because he gets excited. And you know when we're winning. When you hear my phone going off, like, yo, we know. I'm like, even if I can't tune in, I know that we're winning, you know?
And I love that about Craig. Game, perfect example. And I'm the same way. I didn't want to say nothing. I said, I'll wait till see
how the game. Yeah, we were quiet.
When that game was over, I knew. I said, oh, Craig and Powell are going to eat me alive, and rightfully so.
Rightfully so. Because you were talking shit. You know, and we were quiet. We were like, wow, they're going to pull this off. And, you know, it looked good for you guys the whole way through. You got a lot of those slap hits. And at first, I thought Holmes was going to get through six. And
he
got
good.
Hurt. Nah, he got hurt in the six, man. We didn't look too good.
I think that might have been the reason why. Because both pitchers, that game yesterday, it was such a great game. If you like starting pitchers, both starting pitchers. And the more surprising part was Young, because he's a spot starter. He's a fill-in rotation guy until they get some guys back. And, you know, they have him in there pitch five innings at best, see what we do. And he had a great game. Now, granted, some balls went his way. Some strikes went his way.
Yeah, Mr. You know.
He looked great. And I was like, what? I was like, wow. Yeah. And Holmes looked great, too. We made Holmes look like a genius out there, too.
No,
and
but
then the
bullpens
came. And, you know, that game came down to one bullpen. Because if you think about it, it was only one guy in both bullpens that messed up the game. And it was Brian Baker. Everybody else was great. The Mets bullpen, Brazelton, he had an amazing game.
Yeah, that was scary for me.
He has been implode me.
Exactly.
He really
but listen,
implodes.
Listen.
You know?
That was scary for me. Because, all right, so... We got Diaz warming up right in the ninth or something like that, right? He comes in for the ninth to stop the bleeding, you know, to make sure that we can make it to the tenth. The game is tied at this point, you know, and I'm like, holy shit, here we go. So he makes it out of it, and I'm like, all right, I was proud of him. I was like, all right, he did his job. He actually came in a serious situation and he was able to, you know, pull it off. And then Brazelton comes in, you know, and we scored, you know. And we're like, all right, now we're going into the bottom of the 10th, man. And it's going to be easy for them to get this run across. I have a feeling they're going to set it off with a bunt or something, you know? No, that's not what happened. Brazelton comes in, he figures it out, and he gets the game. You know, I'm like, wow, I can't believe it. But, you know, listen. I don't want to, you know, I want to talk about Bacon a little more, right? I know it's crazy. Like, he makes me angry, but, you know, we have the numbers here. Right, so overall accuracy 92%. All right, you're saying, all right, 92%. All right, if I score 92 on an exam, I did great. I'm gonna be happy about this. I'm gonna have a little swag in my step. You know what I'm saying? Now, 92% as an umpire, it doesn't fly the same way. Do you agree?
Yeah, because that means that the 8% that you missed, they were in a crucial situation, and it swayed which way the game went. So yeah. Those stick out more because it's just like any job, right? For example, if I'm doing a good job on my job, right, and you're doing a great job at your job, is your manager going to come bother you? No. They only come talk to you when there's a problem. Hey, Lasha, man, the patient said you did this and that. Hey, Pablo, blah, blah, blah. Your partner said you forgot a piece of equipment at someone's house, and now we got to go find it. That's the only thing they know is the problem. Same thing with these umpires. Well, umpires are great until we have a problem with them. But now that we notice that in the 8% that he's missed calls, they came twice against the Mets. And so now it becomes a problem. Mets and the Yankees, and then the other, I think it was a Toronto and Baltimore way back. But either way, it's just you notice 8% and,
Yeah, it's crazy. But you know what? More. Yeah, but then it's like 2.5% above expected. So, you know what I'm saying? They expected these mistakes, but, he did better than the average. You know what I'm saying? Like, get out of here with that, So, basically, 17 called balls inside, all right? So, he called 17 balls for strikes, right? And then 3 called strikes outside the box. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sorry, bro. I'm not feeling it. So his ball accuracy was called at a 97%, right? And his strike accuracy was at 83%, And the average, get out of here. No. We're not. This is not working, Like, listen, they're not going to lose their jobs. They're still going to hold positions. They're still going to be calling the strikes, but the ABS system is going to be overwatching, Which is great, I kind of like it. Mendoza got kicked out of the game the other day. Same thing. You were talking about Torrens. Yeah, and he was right, And he gets kicked out of the game. But, he gets ejected. It bothers me.
Well, the inning before, he was barking at him about the ball. Same thing. Aaron was, Aaron was chirping at him too. And so they're both rightfully upset. But it was the bottom of the ninth. He was trying to save his guy. He said, well, what do I got to lose? Forget it. Game's over in 2 outs, not even. So what do I got to lose? Yeah, he's going to get a little fine probably. But he had every right to stand up for his guy. I think if that was like the third inning, he might have been chirping, but he would have, stopped it to a point where he wouldn't have got kicked out. But because it was a crucial moment in the game, now it worked out well because the Mets ended up, that game they ended up losing. But still, it was. They were down by 2. I think they had a man on first or second. But still, it was coming because looking at Mendoza in the dugout, he was about to boil over, and he just said, well, forget it. What do I got to lose? So he did the right thing, showing up the umpires in this case. He had a legit reason, And they don't like when you argue balls and strikes. You know how you solve this problem? You still have physical umpires, but you have someone to back them up.
No, it's just perfect like because they get to challenge it now. Yeah, it's perfect because they get to challenge it now, which is awesome. Because listen, this takes away all the negative energy in the game, all the spats that the
it takes away the momentum. The managers, it doesn't ruin the momentum.
Exactly. Thank you. It just, listen. Let's play ball. Let's play ball. This is what I love it. I love it. It's gonna work out. It's something that I'm for. It's a very low percentage, that are like, we don't really care for this, They don't like it. 10%, all right? 72% of fans, during spring training said that they like the experience and it's a positive one, like this, they feel like it's going to be for the good of the game. And I agree. Listen, I agree. But we're going to move on. And we're going to hope that, it works out for them in the All-Star game. Remember what I said to you the other day? I said, I'm going to be really interested in watching the All-Star game now. But due to this change, I'm definitely going to tune in. I'm going to record it if I have to. Whatever I have to do, if I can't, watch it live. But I'm going to watch it because I want to see this go into play, And I want to hear everything they have to say about it and how soon they're going to try to bring it. Because, all the news is going to come through there, So it's kind of like for baseball fans, it's going to be something to tune into, It's going to be a little different than the norm.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to watch. Oh, actually, I don't know. If I got to work, I'll still watch on my phone. I hope I don't have to work. But if I have to work, whatever, I don't care. But either way, it's going to make a difference. You know,
it is.
The players, I think the players will be receptive to it. Who's going to be against it? You know, the old farts, old fart fans who've been fans since 1912 or for whatever.
I mean, that's us now. That's us right now because we're the older generation now. We're the, you know, there's the, my dad, you know, your dad, and then there's us, right? And because we're getting older now. So we're the older generation, you know what I'm saying? And
what does your dad think?
My dad is like, you know what? If it's going to make the game better, let's go for it. I think it's going to make the game better, especially when you're at home and you're like, that was a strike, bro, and the ump calls a ball. You know, now we can fix that problem instead of, you know, complaining about it for three innings. You know what I'm saying? Because that problem isn't going to exist anymore. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like I said, if it means making the game better, it makes it more interesting. Now, some people are like, oh, but now you're going to take away the because I don't know about you, but I get a kick out of watching managers, you know, throw, you know, start kicking the dirt on the home plate. Or I forgot one manager was, he went around the whole bases and took all the bases out and started throwing them in the way.
I love it. It's funny. You know, it's funny,
the
but
antics.
Yeah, I mean, it's
funny. It's not your team.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
When it's your team, you're like, yeah, it's not funny to him.
Yeah, you know? It's not funny at all. But yeah, so like, you know, we were talking about Soto, right? So what do you think? You think Soto deserves to be an all-star? I definitely don't think he does. You know, like I said, he showed up late. He's starting to hit now. And guess what? No, he don't deserve to be an all-star. This is the first time, believe it or not, since 2021 that he doesn't make the all-star team.
But you know what? No, he had a slow start. It's what happens. But you know who made the All-Star, that finally made it All-Star and deserving of it? Lindor. First time as a Met.
Yeah, well, you know what? He was hitting. He hit. He's hitting, deserved it.
You know?
He hit. He carried us. You know, those 40-something wins, you know, they didn't come, you know. He helped a lot. Alonso, exactly. Him and Alonso took the team for a ride.
Lindor's the only guy, in my opinion, that deserves it. I would have gave, if Tyler McGill, I know he had his guts at the moment, but if he had stayed on course like he was doing,
I was loving
Peterson
him.
Would have made it, you know, but then they had three
Holmes.
Straight games. Yeah. Holmes would have made it too, but then
listen, had 8 wins for like the last 4 months, man. Like it's crazy. Like he won 8 real fast, and then like he just died.
And for someone who was a closer, I was like, wow, I can't believe he's doing a great job because I thought it'd be hard for him to transition.
Same here.
He slid right in there, no problems. He was raking and dealing and making everybody look silly, and then, but you know, as you get closer to All-Star game, you get judged based on what have you done for me lately. It's
yes,
the way
sir.
Life is, and also you, as far as All-Star game goes, I think you need to get rid of, the fans voting because fans are biased. You're gonna vote 1,000 times for, you know, Lindor, or whatever, 1,000 times for Alonso. I might root 1,000 times for Cunha or Mullins, even though you might realize, okay, yeah, Mullins is not having a great year. You know, he's okay, but he's not really an all-star. Same thing with Cunha. Only reason why Cunha is just like Soto. They both struggle out the year. Only reason why he made it because he's the home team. If they were playing in Cincinnati, he wouldn't have made it.
Yeah.
Cunha is not an all-star. He came late into the year.
Super late. Like, as always,
he
as always.
He played 1 month. You know, granted, he had an injury, but still, he shouldn't be in it. You know,
no, definitely like, not.
You know, but.
But you understand, you know, politics. It's the politics of the game. It's okay. You know, listen, this is the stuff we deal with because we love the sport, you know? But we know it's ridiculous.
I would put in there instead of him, who's been the most productive on the Braves, I would put in the catch up Baldwin. He's been the most productive for them. Since, as far as the most consistent.
But that's not good enough. That's not good enough.
Who cares? You just need one player to represent you.
I know, exactly. I say 2 all the way down. You know what I'm saying? 30 teams, 2 each, and it should be based on numbers. You know what I'm saying?
One pitcher,
you produce,
one hitter.
You know what? I like that. I think one pitcher, one hitter, okay, that works for me.
Yeah.
Listen, listen. Yeah, 1-1.
So who is for the Mets would be what? Clay Holmes and Lindor.
And Lindor. Then you work your way down. Yeah. You work your way down.
For the Braves, I guess, I don't know. Either Swallenbach or tried it. I don't know. It's hard to tell. And then I guess, you know, either Baldwin or Ozuna for the Orioles would have been Sogano, but he's struggling lately. But, you know, I'm just one pitcher. I think it should be one pitcher and one pitcher and one position player. You could, it could be anybody. And pitcher could be a closer. It could be a relief. It
yeah, of course. Of course, because you need that stuff for the game anyway.
Yeah, so, you know. So, you know, but now, you know, there used to be back in the early 2000s, you had teams that didn't have no player represented. And then that's what made it exciting as a fan, because it's like, wow, my team's actually represented as one guy. You know, where there's years where the Orioles didn't have anybody, you know, where the Mets didn't have anybody. Now you have to have a representative.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's the All-Star game.
Look
for
at
all
the White
teams.
Sox. Look at the White Sox. They're worth it.
Nah, but that doesn't, I know, but that doesn't mean that they don't have the little gems here and there, you know what I'm saying? Because the more you lose,
that's true.
The more you, you know. But let's say, okay, we're going to talk about a lot of great things. This is funny because, you know, I know you noticed it. I noticed it. So, like, all the good teams got to, like, a good number. Like, you know, like those 46 wins, 45 wins, and then something drastic happened, or like, all over the league. It was kind of crazy. Everybody just started to, like, tank and lose. And we're talking about everybody, right? We're talking about the Mets, the Dodgers, San Diego, San Francisco, the Yankees, right?
Toronto.
It all happened. Toronto got hot. So we can't mention Toronto yet. Toronto's on the other side of the spectrum, right? Because Toronto definitely got hot. They won 10 games in a row. They lost this afternoon, and they still won the series against the White Sox, but they lost 2-1, and the streak was broken. Their franchise record was 11 games, right? They matched it twice. They did it in 2015, 2013, and 98. Pretty impressive. Listen, they're on top of the division right now. The Yankees continue to struggle. They played the Mets. They lost the series. They got swept by Toronto in a 4-game. They went through, you know, a couple of teams, and now they're moving on. But that's the type of streak that took them where they needed to go, and now they have to hold it there. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what's funny? You guys were so far down because you're one of the teams that actually played really well in, you know, the last couple of series. Yeah, you guys. In June, you guys were pretty fucking amazing.
16-11.
Exactly. That's a winning record in the month of June. That's something the Mets couldn't do. That's something the Dodgers couldn't do. The Yankees couldn't do. Okay, so we saw a change, right? We saw something completely turn around. Even the Pirates were, for some reason, started playing really well. The defense and their pitching really clicked, and they were holding guys off. They swept the Mets.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking about the teams at the bottom of the pile changing things around. When you look at the divisions now, you look at the standings, they're a lot closer now than they were prior to June's baseball. Those 30 games that happened in that month, prior to that, the standings were completely off. It was like teams were going on a run. It was like, you know, these executives are like, no, no, hold on. This is going to cause a problem. The fans are going to stop watching their teams because they know that they're out of it as we speak. And we're going to have to, you know, listen, I'm that guy that's going to say that all sports are fixed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like they already know who's going to win the World Series. And these players get paid a lot of money to stay quiet about it, too, you know. And think about it. They're professionals, man. They do things that, you know, the average man can't do. When a ball is hit, you know, towards you at 110 miles an hour, you're able to snag that, grab it, position yourself properly to throw the first at another 100 miles an hour, you know, like while guys running down the line trying to beat that throw. It's pretty impressive. You know, it's kind of crazy. But like I'm saying, if you know what's coming and this is all like predetermined and, you know, premeditated prior to even the game starting, and they're like, all right, in this communication between both teams and the league, and they're like, all right, bro, in the third inning, Alonso's going to come up. You're going to serve him a meatball, and he's going to try to crush it in the spot, you know? He's going to try to land it. Think about it. Back in the day, players like Kirby Puckett, I'm sorry I'm ranting right now. I'm just going crazy. But players like Kirby Puckett, and you know McNeil, another guy that you know was able to put the play the ball in play, like put it in a position where there was nobody defending, and that art for some reason completely disappeared off the face of this earth. So you're telling me that you can't, you know, you get paid all this money, you train so hard and you can't put a ball in play. Like you're always hitting it like so hard that you don't even know where it's gonna land and you're hoping for the best. That's how they play baseball now? It's kind of weird to me.
Yeah. It's interesting.
You got a lot more to say. Don't worry about it. They're not going to knock on your door. They're not going to snatch you away and say, you know what? You were talking shit about our sport. You must disappear now. They're not going to do that. I mean, it'll be easier for them to do it to you because of where you're at. You know what I'm saying? But it's going to take them a lot to get me out of this apartment. It's not going to happen. But listen, I don't know. Like I said, it's easy to, you know, throw a football in the air and say, bro, make sure you don't, you don't get it in the way. You don't, you know, don't drop it. And then you tell the defender to make sure that he doesn't get in the way of that catch. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's that type of situation where you're like, boxing too, you know. Boxing is like, bro, you're going down in the fifth round. And when he hits you, you make sure that, you know.
You go, you look like you got stung even though you didn't.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like. This is all, you know, entertainment. You know, you have to look at it that way. You know, it's entertainment, you know.
It sells.
But it sells. Of course it sells, bro. You know, it sells shirts. It sells T-shirts. It sells hats. It sells hot dogs, bro. It sells, bro. But and we tune in.
Yeah, no, going back to the All-Star game, I hate All-Star games because it's not competitive. They're not playing a real game. But baseball is the only sport where it's like literally they have to play the game. You can't just like... It's not like basketball. You can just lollygag a three and hope to goodness you make it. What are you going to do, just throw a toss-up ball and let Aaron Judge hit 10 home runs and all? That's going to be stupid. Everyone's going to know. And it's just so it's the most realistic game that's played for an all-star game. Football, they don't even do it anymore. They just do flag football. Hockey, it's not even a real game. It's 3-on-3, lights, slapping the puck around. You know, it's not a real game because you know what? Those sports, you gotta exert a lot of energy, they're not gonna, you don't wanna. So in my opinion, like as a Mets fan, I'd be actually happy that Soto's not playing because I want him, that's an opportunity for him to rest, let him rest, get him, maybe get his, because if he's playing, you don't want to mess up his swing, especially if he's participating in the home run derby, it never works out for anybody. He did a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So actually, I say, all right, good. I'd rather have him have a better. Remember, it's how you start. You'd rather have him start off have a better second half than the first half. Who cares?
No,
the second
half doesn't mean anything. The first half doesn't mean anything. I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's why the Mets were able to go on that run. Freaking Lindor had a great second half last year. The pitching had a good second half, and Alonso had a great postseason. That's all you need. Who cares? So let Lindor let Soto suck ass this. First half, I don't care,
I agree. But you guys, it's funny, man, because you guys started, you guys went on a nice little run. You guys have fun out there. And the problem was you guys were too far back, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, we want to compare it to what the run that Toronto had. Toronto had that 10, wins in a row, that streak.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So they actually propelled and they were able to jump over the Yankees because they were suffering and they were struggling. So it worked out. But for you guys, the Yankees were still playing, they were trying to figure it out, but you had a lot of hurdles to leap, and jump over. And it was hard, but you started the month 3-3 now, but you guys, listen, your relief pitchers, Aiken, Serenthani, Dominguez, Serenthani, right? Baker, Soto. Oh. You guys, but listen, no. There's some stats out here. These stats are crazy. So those guys, right, when they came into the game, inherited 81 base runners this season, and only 8 of those 81 scored. All right? Something clicked. Your bullpen was on fire. Think about it.
No, they've been great,
Okay? That's pretty crazy. All right? Let me explain something to you. You guys, you're last in the AL East, all right? You're 40-49. Okay. You started off the season... 40-50 now. Okay, yesterday. Including yesterday's yesterday. Okay. And then you started the season 16-34. That was the problem. You know, that was you created a hole for yourself. You know what I'm saying? But since then, you guys have been 24-15, which is way above 500. All right? So something happened. Something happened. The bullpen started clicking. You started pitching a little better. Yes, the rotation has gotten a lot better, okay?
But offense is still missing, in my opinion.
I know,
don't score runs.
Yeah, but listen, something is moving in the right direction, okay? Something is working. Yeah. Something is working. You know, listen, like in the last 32 games, Gunnar Henderson's batting .302, okay? Rushman, you know what I'm saying?
IL.
You have so many catches that went on the IL, you know what I'm saying? That causes a lot of problems for the rotation as well. You got to think about little things like this too, you know? Yeah, a lot of injuries to
you. Learn how to, you know.
Exactly.
Two new catchers, Jacob Stallings and a guy named Jackson, who literally just came on the team like yesterday. And, you know, they got to learn how to catch these pitches on the fly. It's like literally learning on a run. And they've been able to do it, you know. Sanchez is out. Chadwick Trump, he came from the Braves. He's out. Hundley, they've gone through like five catchers already. And they have a star catcher in the minors. He's just not ready to come up yet. He's in AAA. Yeah. Basalo, they don't want to rush him up and damage him, because if he gets hurt, you know, that might be your future catcher, because the rumors might be, hey, you know, because Rutschman's not having a great year. He's having a good year behind the plate, but offensively, he is not producing like they expected him to. And that's the other reason why Baltimore has been terrible. The offense has been absent. No one's producing. Holiday's the only guy that's been pretty consistent. You know, Tyler O'Neill was good. Then he got hurt. He just came back. Mullins has carried the team.
He's really close to the Mendoza line. He's not hitting. He's not hitting. You know what's funny? Today we were supposed to, you know, go into game two. Last night was a great game. You know, me and Lasha. Lasha's been having a lot of fun lately, because the first thing that happens is that his two teams, you know, end up at Truist Park, Baltimore versus Atlanta. And the craziest shit about it, that was the craziest shit about it right there. I was just about to say that, right? And then after that, the Mets are playing Baltimore now. Last night, Lasha was on a big high. He's sending us a lot of bullshit on the chat. He thinks he's going to win the game. We come back and just snatch it right from them. It was great. Today, I was excited. I was like, I can't wait for this game to come on. You know, at first, I was like excited for the Toronto game. And I'm like, I was looking at it this morning. I was like, wow, Toronto's going to sweep these guys. I mean, it looks easy. And they're going to go 11 in a row. Didn't happen. You know, listen, I'm a huge fan of anybody on top of the Yankees in the AL East. So today, Peterson and Chicago were supposed to, you know, run into each other. And the funny thing was that, look, Peterson is 6-4, right? He had a good start to the season. Then he started falling apart a little, but he's been the most consistent guy in the rotation right now. Then you have Chicago. Chicago came in, you know, he won six games and he has five losses. The ERAs, Peterson had a 3.18 and Chicago had a 4.44, right? In the last three starts, though, Chicago had problems, right? ERA of 10.80. Right, he allowed 26 hits. He struck out 11 and had 5 base on balls. Peterson, 6.46, allowed 18 hits, 13 strikeouts, 9 walks. But Peterson hasn't been going the distance. You know, he's one of the few, actually, that, you know, has been able to pitch past the 7th or into the 7th, you know, in his last two starts. So let's see what he does tomorrow. I don't know what they're going to do, if they're going to pitch him in the first game or the second game, but I'm excited. All right. Maybe you guys win and then, you know, we'll need a rubber match. But I just want to get it out the way. I want to win tomorrow, win the series, and, you know, continue to keep winning, because we're playing okay now. You know what I'm saying? We beat the Yankees. You know, we beat Milwaukee. And now, you know, we're playing you guys, and hopefully we can win the series and continue to win. That'll be three series in a row, and that's going in the right direction. And Philly, you know, Philly has it. We were tied prior to today's games, but we got, you know, postponed due to rain. So we're playing a doubleheader tomorrow. Philly played. They destroyed the Giants 13-0, I think. I don't know. Am I exaggerating? Did I make it sound too good? I think it was 13 to nothing. Something ugly, that's for sure.
No, but, man, San Francisco, man, ever since they got Devers, they've been, and guess what? Boston's been going up. They're on a little five-game winning streak. So,
yeah, so they lost 13 to nothing today. Yeah, Giants won last night, and then the Phillies turned it around today, and they went 13 to nothing. So they have a half a game lead on us because we didn't play today. That's okay, though. Listen, they took the lead there. I like the Phillies. Listen, I'm not complaining. Listen, we're playing like shit. They took over. And now, you know, we have to fight for this. You know, that's, I like it. It's a fight. It's a fight, you know? It seems like it was too easy for them to, like, you know, just go on a super run. But like I said, all the teams that were playing well decided to tank. You know, the only team that kept playing well was Detroit, which is kind of crazy. Detroit continues to play well, continues to do damage. With the likes of Javi Baez. That's crazy. I don't even understand that. But whatever. You know, these guys have 59 wins. They're going to be, for sure, the first, you know, 60-win club this year, which is crazy. Because
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Going into the All-Star break. How fucking crazy is that, bro? These guys are going to do serious damage, man. Listen, I can't wait. I don't want to see the Yankees. If the Yankees make it, I hope they have to land on the Tiger's lap, because it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt.
Oh, you know what would be great? Speaking of the Yankees, Gleyber Torres was awful in New York. He couldn't, he just was not productive. He was not a team player. He just, now he goes to Detroit and he's an all-star for them. Oh my gosh. Watch him play each other in the playoffs and he comes up big in a big game against the Yankees.
It's funny because it's like the battle of the pinstripes. Because, you know, their uniform is pretty similar to what the Yankees' uniform is, if you notice. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be the battle, man. It's going to be a great battle. The Mets are trying, man. That's all I can say. The Mets are trying. Listen, Brandon Nimmo's been hitting like a maniac in the last 38 games, bro. 308.
He should have
been an all-star. Yeah, man. 10 home runs, 25 RBIs. This is in the last 38 games. He's just turned it around. You know, he hit two grand slams in a week, bro. Like, he's really turned it around. He's our captain. That's my captain. You know, he's the people's captain. You know, I feel like he's the unsung hero, you know? I love that guy. But, you know, we're talking about grades now. You know, we come to the point in the season where we have to talk about grades. I'm not going to talk about every single team in the league. But I, you know, I have a couple here. Just, you know, we were just talking about the Tigers. The Tigers, they graded the Tigers an A+, bro. All right? School ball, Javi Baez doing his thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's pretty crazy over there, the energy that they bring to the diamond. It's kind of crazy. The Dodgers, you know, they got a B. I'm pretty sure it's because of all the tanking. You know, they have pitching problems. You know, but these guys, you know, we're going to have to see them in the playoffs, all right? They're definitely going to make it. Like, San Diego, the Giants, they kind of tanked a little bit. But you never know what can happen. The Phillies, of course, I put them up there because the Phillies are in my division. They're giving us problems right now. So the Phillies, they got a B. You know, they started off a little slow, but you know what? They picked it up, and now they're ready to fight. You know, Harper's been hurt. You know what I'm saying? He's been slumping a little bit. But I'm pretty sure when they get it together, they'll be just fine, and I still think they're a force, and you can't count them out. The Mets got a B as well. You know, listen, I don't have to, you know, tell you that I don't like what's happening this year with the Mets. I'm not happy with the lineup. Very unhappy with the development of the younger players and how they've been just, like, tossed around. Here, play here, play there. Don't play today. Play over here, play there. You can't expect anything from guys like that when you're doing that to them, you know. You've had a serious problem with McNeil, you know, just hogging time from these kids.
Beatty. And
you know what I'm saying? Beatty's been another problem who's been hogging time from, like, players that I feel should be getting every day, you know, play. But, you know, like, listen, if we make it, cool, we made it. But I don't like the way we made it. You know, Soto's been struggling. It seems like he wants to hit when the whole team isn't connecting. But when the team is connecting and the team is hitting, he doesn't show up. It's like a weird balance that we have going on there. And if that's the case, listen, I prefer Soto doesn't hit and collect his little walks and we'll take it from there. Because when we were doing that at the beginning of the season, it seemed to work. But now you mess with the lineup too. So now the lineup is different. which is something else I don't like. You know, I can't. You know, they say, oh, the bottom of the lineup sucks. Yeah, well, the bottom of the lineup has Jeff McNeil and Beatty in it. So how could it not suck? You know what I'm saying? Then you have Tyrone Taylor, who I like. You know what I'm saying? He defensively, he's great, but he sucks. He's not hitting the ball. So why are we playing him? You know, we can't play him because you're not going to put him on the top of the lineup, right? Because he's not hitting. You're going to put him at the bottom of the lineup with McNeil and Beatty. So then why even bother to play baseball? Because now you're running a 1-5, and then four automatic outs later, you're going back to the top of the order. Are you crazy? You can't win baseball games like that. But whatever. You know, listen, I'm just talking on my ass right now. I'm a little upset. And this is with a B, you know? So then we have the Yankees. The Yankees they got a C, all right? They, you know, they're trying to figure it out. It's a different ball club. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think they still make the playoffs. You know, if they don't make the playoffs, guess what? Early Christmas gift for you and I. But now the last two teams are your teams. Atlanta with the fat F, deserving of the fat F. They are not playing to their potential.
No.
Okay.
And Baltimore got F, but Baltimore, Atlanta had the same exact problems.
Yeah, pitching.
They have no pitching, and the offense is not what it's supposed to be, what they predicted to be, nowhere to be found. It's more upsetting with I feel like it's more upsetting with Baltimore because Baltimore had high expectations. Atlanta same, kind yeah, of me too. Feeling that, you know, with the Mets, they predicted the Mets to win the division and Phillies to be right there. Mm-hmm. They knew that Atlanta took a step back with not re-signing Scherzer and letting Charlie Morton go.
And Fried.
Max Fried, I meant. What did I say?
Scherzer, yeah. Bro. I don't know why you.
I don't know where
Scherzer.
I got Scherzer from.
Listen.
Brain fart. But anyway, you Scherzer. Know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But the thing is with the Mets and the same thing with the Orioles is their star players are not seriously injured besides Orioles, Rutschman. But other than that, their star guys are back. Yeah, Acuna just came back for the Braves. Great. But everybody else, for the most part, Olsen, he's, you know, hasn't produced much. Riley hasn't done much. Kelnick was supposed to be great. Michael Harris, he's been the biggest disappointment on the Braves. He swings at everything. He swings at the balls that are in at the you know, outside the parking lot instead of just, you know, he's impatient. He swings at everything. Plays a great defense, but he doesn't know how to control himself at the plate. Ozuna, you know, he gets into one once in a while. You know, Baldwin has been great. Albies has been having a mediocre season. He's not doing great.
Nah.
And then, but your big guys, Olsen, Riley, and Acuna, those are guys. And Murphy. Murphy's been terrible since he's came back from injury. I don't know what's wrong with him. Yeah, he had a home run the other day. But other than that, they've just been terrible. And that's what's more, for me, that's more disappointing as going back to the Orioles is because it's not like they lost major pieces. Yeah, you lost Corbin Burns. You let him go.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Three others, you know, what do you call it? Yeah, Burns was gone, but, you know, for Grayson Rodriguez, he got hurt. Can't think of the other players. Tyler Wells, he's coming off injury. Kyle Bradish. Three starters right there that were there last year. They're all coming from injury, but by the time they come back, it's too late. Your season's over. So if I'm them, why have rushed them back? Let them take their sweet time. You know,
wait yeah, at this year, point. You know? Yeah, but what's you know, rush? Listen, how bad is it for you guys right now? How bad is it? It's not that bad. All right,
it's not bad.
Let's look at the wild card. Let's look at the wild card situation for you guys right now. Let's see how bad it is. It's not that bad. You know, you got an F, but you guys are playing way better baseball now, right? You're 7 games back from the wild card, all right? You have a little bit of competition on the way there, right? But everything is kind of close. If you get into that 3 games back situation where you're playing really good baseball, right? Right now, 7 games back isn't that bad, all right? You get on a couple of streaks here, win a couple of series, and you have a couple of teams in front of you. It's not that bad. You know, everybody's playing the same type of ball. When somebody tanks, you move up in the rankings and you'll be all right. But, you know, you can't quit. You know, that's the saying. You can't quit, right? It's not over till the fat lady sings, right? I don't know if that's politically correct anymore, but, you know what I mean. Now we're coming down to the hitter and the pitch of the week, you know, and I don't like either one of these guys, you know, and I'll explain to you why. So the first one is Judge. You know, you pick these guys on a weekly basis. I don't have nothing to do with this, but I'm not saying you didn't pick the right guys. Judge, you know, he's a maniac. 2-for-4, 2 home runs, base on balls, 4 RBIs. You know what I'm saying? Head of the week against the Sacramento / whatever A's. You know what I'm saying? 12-1 Yankee win on the 29th. That's ridiculous. When they hit, bro. They couldn't do that shit against the Mets, though. I just want to say that. Then the gunslinger of the week. Another guy that slipped away. Because if you had this guy, man. But obviously, Wilpon Erba got rid of him. He's a Philly now. He's talking about retiring already. This guy, you know, listen. Amazing. He went 8 innings, 6 hits. None earned, 10 strikeouts. This is the stuff that I'm talking about. This is the guy that's definitely slipped away. Beating San Diego 4-0 on the 30th. That's amazing. I'm watching the San Diego and Arizona game in the background. And I have a serious problem with what's going on right now. So they have Dylan Cease on the mound. He's been terrible for this game. They're losing 6-1. Listen, 6-1. 94 pitchings in the sixth, and they still have him out there dangling. What's wrong with these guys?
Their bullpen is not as good, and that's what it is. But besides their closer, they don't have a really good
3 hits, 1 run for San Diego today, and they still have this guy dangling out there. Are you kidding me? Get out of here with that shit. That's just crazy. They don't want to win a World Series. They don't want to win, period. Now, question of the week. This is a very good question. It's going to be a 3-parter for you, okay? So we give you points, you know what I'm saying? So the Baltimore Orioles and the New York Mets, right? They played in the World Series in what year?
Oh, what was it? It was the 80... Because they played in the World Series back-to-back years. Remember 86 and 80? Was 85 or 86?
Mets
won in 86.
We did, but we didn't play. We played Boston that year, bro.
In the World Series? Okay, so it's got to be 80. Was it 84? I want 85.
No, right? You're so wrong. It was 69. The Mets.
Oh.
Okay, and the Mets won that series, right? And I want you to tell me. The second part of the question is, what was the end all for that? The series? The Mets won because we only have 2 championships. So we won in 69 and we won in 86.
4-2, you're asking? How many games they won?
Yeah, how many games did the Mets win? Obviously, they won 4 because they won the World Series. Now,
I would say 4-2.
Nah,
no, that can't be right. 4-3 because it's 7. If it's 7 games,
no, I didn't tell you it went 7 games. You just made that up.
How many games was? Fine.
It went 5.
So 4 games. That means that it was either a 6-game series or 5-game. I guess. So if it's a 5-game series, the World Series, then that means it was 4-1.
Okay, 4-0. You got that. Yeah. It was. Yeah, they won 1 game. The Baltimore won 1 game during that series. All right.
That's crazy.
And then that's crazy,
Earl
right?
Weaver.
Yeah, okay. You know who else was on that team? The manager, Davey Johnson.
He was
the manager of the Mets in the 86 series, which is crazy, right? And he was a player on the Baltimore Orioles for that World Series.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, right? Now, I looked up matches between Baltimore and the Mets, right? And apparently there's been less than 40 matches ever.
Yeah, because we're not...
There was no interleague... You know, for a long time, and obviously we didn't see each other unless we went to the World Series. You know, so in total, I believe 39 games with yesterday's, right? Which is crazy, right? So they've only seen each other in a matchup 38 times
in the whole existence
of baseball. Yeah, right. That's crazy,
both
right?
Team's existence.
Yes, yes, that's crazy, right? Little you know, fun facts and shit. Now. This is interesting as well, all right? There's been players that have played for both teams, all right? I want you to give me the number, all right? And I'll give you a higher and lower twice. How many players have played for both teams in the major league?
Ooh, how many players? players play for both teams?
Yes, in the history of the MLB.
I'd say less than five. I say I'll go with four.
Well, higher.
Really? More than 10?
Higher. That's it. You don't get any more. So.
All right. There's got to be at least, I say, 20.
Wrong. You're not even close. 138 wow. players have played for both teams. That's crazy, right? For a team that's only seen each other 39 times, right? 138 players have played for both of those teams. The biggest ones, Eddie Murray, right? He played two seasons with the Mets, obviously, you know. Because, you know, a lot of the great players came to the Mets to retire, you know what I'm saying? So, like, 13 seasons with the Orioles, two with the Mets. Roberto Alomar, two seasons with the Mets. He played three with Orioles, right? Three with the Orioles. Then we have Sid Fernandez, who won a championship with the Mets in 86. He played 10 seasons with the Mets, and he played two with Baltimore. Melvin Mora, another guy.
I remember Melvin Mora.
Yeah, yes, yeah. He was good, two seasons with the Mets, and 10 seasons with Baltimore. Yeah, it was the other way around. You know, he played with the Mets first, then he did 10 seasons with Baltimore. There's a lot of great names here that, you know, the craziest name of all was Bobby Bonilla.
He played for the Orioles?
Yeah, bro. That's crazy. Oh, wow. I ran into this list, right? He played for the Orioles, bro. Right?
Wow.
Let me see. Another big name. Let me see. We got Andy Chavez. He played for the Mets. Yeah, I remember he made this catch for the Mets one time. It was so crazy. But anyway, yeah, let me see. Kevin Bass.
Chavez, he's a big contributor in the 86 team. Or was it?
No. That was way later. That was way later, bro. 1986 team. Yeah, the 90s. And then Jose Bautista played for both.
Oh, the guy that used to be on the Toronto Blue Jays. So Bautista was drafted by the Orioles, never developed, and then did he go to the Mets after Toronto? I think so. That's what it was.
Yeah, he played. He had a little stint there too. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yo, another big one is Matt Harvey.
Yes, actually, Harvey played in during the 2020 COVID year. He did all right. He was actually not too bad. And then I forgot about that. He was more
Rich Hill. I don't remember him.
I remember him. Yeah.
Right.
Didn't he come from Tampa Bay originally?
I think you're right. I think you're right. I can't remember, but I remember him. And then, Jeff Conine. Wow.
Yes, Jeff Conine. I remember him.
All right, we got a lot of big names. Jose Iglesias, Mr. Oh My God, who's played for everybody, played for both teams as well.
Wow, there was a guy, I couldn't think of his name. Starts with the M. I couldn't think. I think he played for the Mets. Who else do you have on the list?
Okay, so it's 130.
It'll come up to my mind.
I mean, there's a lot of big names here. Like, let me see. We got Ray Knight, another big guy that played for the 86 Mets, you know, played for the Orioles as well. Jeff McKnight. Wow, I remember him. Melvin Mora, we already mentioned that, right?
Yeah.
Let me see what else we got here. Jay Payton. That's crazy. Jesse Orosco, another 86 championship
Orosco
winner.
I remember Orosco with the Mets, not
the Orioles. Yeah, me neither. And who else do we have here? We have David Segui.
What
I don't
about
remember Mazzilli? Him. Mazzilli? No, I don't see him here. Oh, Tatis. His father.
Senior played for the Orioles and the Mets. I knew he was a Cardinal most of his life.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
Senior. Yeah. Ruben Tejada.
You said, yeah, I remember.
Oh, Justin Turner. That's crazy.
He's another one. He was Bautista. Drafted by the Orioles, but never came out and then went somewhere else and was great. Turner joined the Mets afterwards, the Dodgers.
Yeah, right? Turner never got to really get, never developed really well with the Mets because we had David Wright. So he didn't get a lot of playing time. So it didn't work out for him. He actually exploded when he left the Mets, you know, and he became a force. But
You know, it's another a player who was, he was infamous for this. Jorge Lopez, when he threw the, he was great with the Orioles as a closer.
Oh, man.
That one game.
Round of applause for Mr. Lopez.
He threw the gloves at the stands.
And that was the turning point in the season. Yeah. Of course he wasn't going to find a job. Of course.
He was awful for the Mets.
No, listen, he got frustrated. Yeah, that was Todd Zeal, one of our analysts, you know. He played for the Orioles as well.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, Todd Zeal.
You know, so many big names play for both of these teams. Crazy. Just crazy, right? 138 guys, to be exact. It's pretty crazy.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot. You know, I'm pretty sure I missed a couple of names. Steve Traxel.
The Mets came into business, what, in 1962, I think, and the Orioles in 19-0-something, whatever it was.
I can't remember those numbers.
No, Orioles became official in 1954, and I think the Mets became, because the Mets came in after the Dodgers and the Giants left. If you want to know how the Mets got their colors, they took the color from the Giants and the color from the Dodgers and became the Metropolitans, because they felt like just having the Yankees wasn't enough.
Thank God for that, because, man, I can't see myself being a Yankee fan. But you know what? You never know. Who knows, man? Yeah, that's ugly. Let's not even think about that. That alternate universe, you know what I'm saying? That's crazy. So I was scrolling here, and I see that Mr. LeMahieu was DFA'd by the Yankees. What?
Oh, he's been terrible, man. He can't play. He doesn't have a bat anymore, and he can't play the field anymore. He's a guy, in baseball terms, he's old. He's like 36. He's like a little younger than me. But in baseball teams, he's just been awful. But the problem with the Yankees is they're playing guys in wrong positions. They got Jazz Chisholm, you know, losing Oswaldo Peraza, I think, the third baseman, to an ankle injury. He was supposed to be the third baseman, but he's a good defender, but a terrible bat. And Jazz Chisholm is a naturally second baseman. He's playing third, but he said in the offseason, he goes, you know, they didn't tell me I was going to be third baseman because they just assumed, you know, LeMahieu would come back. Well, you know what it was? They knew that Oswaldo Peraza would be playing. And so they're like, all right, we don't have to worry about it. Chisholm will play second base. And that's his natural position.
Yeah, that's what they did.
And he's a team player. He's been all right, but, you know. But the biggest problem with the Yankees has been Anthony Volpe. They said they could have gotten Javier Baez. They could have got all these other shortstops. They could not have your bite. They could have got Carlos Correa from the Twins or Astros at the time. And they said, nope, we're going to hold on to Volpe because he's supposed to be a superstar and blah, blah, blah. He's been terrible. He's booting the ball around. He's not productive. He's an average, below average hitter. So it's starting to look bad for the Yankees. You know, he's a homegrown, you know, New Jersey guy. And they put a lot into this guy. He's been terrible.
You know what?
But
that makes me happy.
It is. But the reason why Yankees are doing bad is because they got players playing in their non-traditional spots, and it's coming to roost, and it's backfiring. But what are you going to do? You're not going to get Peraza back. He's out for the year. The other third baseman is not that great. You got guys in the minors. You can't call them up yet. It's too you know who they want to call up, who's a future shortstop? George Lombard Jr., I think, is their shortstop. He's their future prospect, but problem is they don't want to give up on him. You know how bad the Yankees would look if they gave up on him that quickly on Volpe? I don't know what the Volpe problem is. I don't know if he's got the pressure of feeling like he's the next Derek Jeter. I think that has to do with it too, you know, because the Yankees had such amazing all-star shortstop, Hall of Famer, and now to have him in there, geez, that's a big shoes to fill. And so he feels that pressure. You know, he's like Derek Jeter, homegrown, grew up in Jersey. Yankees were his favorite team. And now he's, you know, I don't know. It's still young, who knows. But Volpe's starting to look like Gary Sanchez. I'm not Gary Sanchez. Well, Gary Sanchez too, but more so Gleyber Torres. Couldn't do well in New York. He's going to go somewhere else. He could be a superstar. So who knows. But
a change of scenery changes everything.
Yeah, New York is a lot of pressure, man. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you have to have thick skin, because New York City, New York, the fans, they lay it on you thick and thin right then and there. They'll let you know when you're doing bad. They'll let you know when you're great. There's no, you know, it's not like Milwaukee or Baltimore or Atlanta where, you know, fans always love you because you're the best player. We love you. Blah, blah.
Listen, the ebbs and flows of the season. Some fans take it a lot better than others, but when you have a winning formula and your team is, you know, always on top, you know, and things like this happen, everybody notices.
Yep.
But listen, the All-Star game is coming. We have the ABS system coming into play for the first time ever in a Major League Baseball game. I'm excited. Baltimore's playing better baseball. The Mets seem to have turned it around. We'll find out tomorrow if we can win the series or are we going into a rubber match. I'm excited for our teams together. It's been fun, but it's been tragically, you know, disappointing as well. You know, like, can't do so well and then just fall apart, you know, like that. Like, I don't know. It's just weird. But we'll see what happens. I don't think we have what it takes to win a championship, especially with all these problems we have. But listen, this, the trade deadline is around the corner. Let's see what happens. You know, last year we tried to predict what was going to happen, and the complete opposite happened. I like the where we were at last year at this point in the season. I like the players on our team a lot better. I don't think this team has the same type of energy and the same type of chemistry that we had last year. But we're still a winning ball club. And is it the same for me? No, it's not, you know. I'm not enjoying it as much as I was last year. But we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens. Maybe, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem for the Mets too is their catching. Terranz is a good defender, but the lack of offensive production from both of them. Now you expect that from Terranz because he wasn't.
But you know what? But he's hitting the ball though. He's not a problem. He's not the problem. I can't say anything negative about Mr. Terranz. Terranz came in and he looked like he was a starter. Even last year, you know, we were like, wow, this guy looks like, you know, he's not going to want to play here because he doesn't want to be a backup. That was my problem last year with him. And that's a good problem I have. I was like, this guy's too good to be a backup. And look what happens. Alvarez breaks his hand. He comes back. He's unable to produce. He's funny behind the plate. So Terrence came in clutch. Because it's not like we're struggling with a backup catcher. We actually have a catcher that I think can actually do his thing. And, you know, he's really good defensively. He's hitting the ball. It's the Beatty. It's the Taylors and the mismanagement and the development of the players. That's what's bothering me. And it's a lot. That's a lot to work with. You know, I don't want to see these guys jumping back and forth. But anyway, it was a great episode. Trivia was amazing. Man. I had fun with the trivia tonight. We had a lot of fun things to talk about. Mr. Bacon, you know how I feel about you. I'm not going to, you know, say anything nasty, but you gotta shape up, brother. You got to fix it. We gotta figure this out, all right? You can't be 92%. You know what? When you play, when you're umpiring Met games, you got to step up your game. I don't care what you do on the side, but when you play, you know, when you're on the field with the Mets, I need you to step up your game. I don't need these problems, all right? We have enough problems. But hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Craig, love you. And we're going to see you on the next one. Have a good night, guys.
Later, guys.
See you. Peace, Lash.